Amen. Psalms 139. Really, I need verses 1 and 7, but the whole chapter is good. I don't think I'll read the whole chapter. But you have to read it later. You have to go home before you go to bed tonight. Read this whole chapter. It wouldn't take you just a few minutes. Psalms 139. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Praise the Lord. Thou knowest my down sittings and mine uprisings. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my laying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. God knows the word on your tongue. He not only knows the word on your tongue, he knows the word that you wish maybe you had spoken. Mm-hmm. And you kept it behind. God knows the very heart, the very intent of the heart, the very thought of the mind.
Amen.
Did you know that?
You know
what? David's telling you here how good and how much God knows you. Amen. Praise God. For thou, verse 5, hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Verse number 7, probably where I'll be taking my text from. And we'll read a few verses after this. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Where am I going to go that you ain't there? Hallelujah.
Oh, yes.
Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Hallelujah. For thou hast possessed my reins, and thou covered me in my mother's womb.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Glory to God. Amen. If the Lord will help us for just a few moments here tonight, I'd like to take a text really from verse number 7. Amen. I love that. I love that verse right there. If I, whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence? Amen. Where are you going to go that he ain't there? Amen. Where are you going to go that Jesus is not there? He's ever present and all knowing. Amen. Hallelujah. David desperately sought after God. He was not just a Sunday morning, amen, precious promise box, quick devotional type of Christian. Amen.
All right.
He wasn't just in it for the Sunday morning service. Hallelujah. He wasn't just in it. Amen. For a quick emotion. Hallelujah. And I believe David, with all of his heart, yearned after the Lord. If you will, I mean, you could call it an ever-present knowing God, or a yearning of the heart, a yearning for God. I don't have no special title, but you'll get the point by the time I'm done, I feel. Amen. Even during David's moral breakdown. Amen. Great God. When the a prophet confronted him with the fact that God had been grieved because of his sin, David immediately set out to rectify his broken covenant with God. Amen. We like to compare so oftentimes David with Saul. Amen. Saul sinned and tried to cover it up. Saul sinned and tried to hide it. Amen. But when David sinned, he cried out with all of his heart and said, against thee, O God, have I sinned. Amen. Will you forgive me? Hallelujah. David loved God. Listen, David longed for God. It was David's passion to seek after the Lord. Amen. Oh, yes. Amen. I would to God that it would be every one of our passions tonight to seek after Him. Amen. Hey, I guess you say I've got a yearning in my heart tonight to get back to the old ways. Amen. I got a yearning in my heart, Brother Chris, to get back to them old cottage prayer meetings that they used to talk about. Amen. They just gathered. gather together and have prayer meetings. Amen. I mean, really nothing on the agenda other than to pray, but a lot more happened than just prayer. Amen. God moved in that place. Yes. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. God moved in that house. Amen. I'm not to gather together. Amen. Have some old college prayer meetings, Brother Daniel, and a fellow by the name of, amen, Donald Bragg get saved and get healed. Amen. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't that be wonderful? We had a yearning and a longing and a passion to see God one more time. Amen. A fellow by the name of Edwin Hatch wrote a song that's in the hymnal book. Hey, I don't think it's sung very much. Amen. But it starts off like this. I started to look for it, but I didn't have time. I got the phone with that. Amen. PA and folks got to coming in. Time got away. But it says, breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with new life. Hallelujah. That I may love what thou dost love, and I do want to. That I may love what thou dost love, and I do what thou wouldest do. Yeah. Amen.
All right.
Breathe on me, breath of God, till I am wholly thine, until this earthly part of me glows with thy fire divine. I want him to breathe on me, don't you? Hey, I'm about to feel the Holy Ghost right up here tonight. Amen. How many would like for God to breathe on me? Amen. How many would the God
breathe on me, Lord?
Pour his spirit out on them. Hallelujah. Yeah. That I may love what thou dost love, and I do what thou wantest to do. Amen. Breathe on me, breath of God, till I am wholly thine. Amen. Until this earthly part of me glows with thy fire divine. Hallelujah. The whole song is an overflow of a heart that yearns for God. Amen. So filled with God would be grieved by the same things that grieve God. Oh yes, sir. He would be thrilled by the same things that thrill God. There's a difference in the liking God and really loving. A lot of people like God. Amen. There are people down on the workplace, they like God. But when you talk about a real Lord of your life, a real God that you devote yourself to, a lot of people like, a lot of men like women, and a lot of women like men, but not a lot of people like marriage, if you know what I mean. That's why we're living in a world, Brother Daniel, where nobody wants to commit to it. They like one another, but they really don't love one another. Amen. When you really love someone, you'll commit to them. Amen. Oh yes. And when you really love God, you'll commit your life to him. And you'll say, Lord, it's not my life to live anymore, but it's your life. And I'll commit my ways to your ways. What makes you happy makes me happy. What you don't like, I don't like. Hey God. David cried out in Psalms 42. Verse number 1, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Amen. What a yearning. What a love. Amen. Oh, what prayer. What soul seeking prayer that David cried out as that deer wants to get him a lick of water. How that creek. David said, that's how much I desire you, Lord. I want you, Lord. Great God. I've seen dogs run in deers. I'm sure some of these deer hunters have seen deer. I shot at a deer one time. I should have gave him a chance. But before them dogs had run that deer so long, he is a nice buck back home in Mingo County. But them dogs had run that deer so long, I've never seen a deer look like that. That thing looked like an old horse that had been put up wet. I mean, that deer had sweat. Although that deer was smack dab wore out. And he seen me and he kind of come close to me. I think he thought I was going to help him. Amen. But I wasn't but about 15. I wasn't interested in helping him. I was interested in taking him home. Amen. Great God. But David said their heart, amen, this sweating, amen, and this been ran by them dogs. He would just want to drink a water out of the creek. That's how much I long for you, O God. That's how much I desire you, O God. Won't you raise your hand in this house and say, Lord, I desire you. Lord, I long after you. I yearn in my heart to have the Spirit of God again. I yearn in my heart to Jesus either. Amen. Sick healed again. I yearn in my heart to see the lost saved again. I yearn in my heart to see revival again. I yearn in my heart to see God move in the midst again. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hold on to your seatbelts. That's a desperate prayer. It's a lot more than them 3 minute prayers we pray, getting down on one knee and up on the other.
Oh God.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
I'm amazed to believe, Sister Dottie, some people pray in the church service just because they know that's what they have to do, man. And it keeps everybody off their back.
Yeah.
Keeps that preacher off my back. If I get down there and pray, after I can pray and I sit down there, I ain't praying, I got my head buried down, I'm yawning. I'm thinking about what I got to do tomorrow. I think about my mind's on what was going on yesterday. I'm not praying. Hey, you ain't yearning for God.
Oh,
amen. You're the one I'm preaching to tonight. When's the last time you got a yearning in your heart? When's the last time you really got down in an altar and prayed and said, oh God, I yearn after thee. Oh God, I yearn after thee. Breathe on me till I'm wholly thine.
Yeah.
Breathe on me, Holy Ghost. That comes from a person in travail. Amen. From one who somehow, amen, captured a brief glimpse of the majesty of God, and who wants the fullness of the Creator within him. At any cost, I want him, Brother Daniel. I said, I want him. I want him. I said, I'm hungry for him. Hey, amen. Haven't been fasting around here on Thursdays. You're not adding a day to that. It's put a yearning down in my heart, Brother Daniel. I said, it's put a yearning down in my heart. Commit to that. It'll do you some of you some good to commit to that Thursday fast day and say, Lord, I'm going to yearn for more of the things of God. I'm going to yearn and pray and read you. How can you know God if you don't read His Word?
Right. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus.
Holy, 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 holy.
Yes, Lord.
Pray for me here tonight. Oh, I told you, I done told you. I got way more love than I used to. Hey, God, I used to get aggravated when I break people over the coals. But now I'll do it in a loving way. Amen. Hey, God. Hey, God. You can love God. You can fall in love with His Word. You can fall in love with His church. You can fall in love with His work. Hey, I don't come to church because I have to. Brother Daniel, because it's my obligation. I come to church because this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. I come to church because I love Him. I come to church because the Lord praise Him. I come to church to get in His presence. I come to church to be used of Him. I come to church to feel the Spirit of the Lord.
Amen.
Sister Carla said tonight, that's beautiful.
Thank you, Lord.
She said, pray for me. I got any touch in my body, and I want to be used of the Lord.
Amen.
That was my message tonight. Do you want to be used of the Lord?
All right.
Do you have a yearning in your heart for God?
Yes, Lord.
Woo! Sister Carla, I come to tell you tonight, you can be used of God. God wants to use you. And God can use you. You know why? Because she's got an humble, honest heart. And that's the kind God's looking for. I said, that's the kind God's looking for. Hey, He can't help you. He can't even use you. If you're so tired in your own way.
That's
and
it.
This help has to be. And if God's going to use me, it's got to be this way. Oh no, you're not a candidate to be used to God. You've got to kick your way out of the way and say, Lord, here I am. Amen. Hey, I was out to come to Ace want to go and tell somebody, amen, to get down that foreign row. I spread y'all think I was charismatic. I should have said it. It do some of you some good to get out in a floor and a row. Roll that pride out. Roll.
Hey, come on.
Out. Roll. Amen. That old stubborn self will out. And let God get a hold of you. Let God get down in your heart. We can have church. We can have revival.
Hey, come on.
just get it out. Amen.
That's right.
Yes, Lord.
Come on, man. Having a hard time. Amen. My neck. Nick's been stiffer than a board.
Help me.
Hey, God. Oh, yes. Amen. Oh, who wants the fullness of God? I want His fullness. Brother Chuck, I want His fullness. I never met Sister Evans. Amen. Matter of fact, I was at her viewing, her visitation. I had just moved in this area. I never knew her. I had just moved down here in the latter part of 2000. And she died in the first part of 2001. She died in the first part of 2001, but I was at her visitation.
Yeah.
I never knew her, but I know this. Everybody I've ever been around that was around her said, oh, what a woman of God. Yeah. Woo! She's been dead how many years? 20 years, Sister Claire. Yeah. And everybody still talks about what a woman of God she was.
Yeah.
That's what I want, Brother Tommy. That's what I want. To, Brother Kirk said, the Lord would get on her, and oil would come out of her hands.
Yeah.
And she'd use her own oil to pray for her. Hey, that's what I want. Hey, God. Now what we care about is jobs. Now what we care about is
making money. Oh, God.
Now
come
what
on.
We care about riding poilers and boats and fishing and hunting. Hey, what about the Lord? What about really getting carried away with the power and the Spirit of God? I'd like to get it again. I'd like to have it again.
Hey, come
I'd like
on.
To have a yearning.
Come on.
For the Holy Ghost.
Woo.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Surely, if we ever get God like we need Him, it's going to cost us.
That's true.
That's true.
Oh, yeah.
Can I tell you something? Can I tell on Jason?
Come on.
God bless him, Lord.
I know, Brother Tommy, that if I really get to where I need to be with God, it's going to cost me.
Yeah.
We'd well know that.
Yeah.
You can't really get to a place in God that you really need to be. That it changing your world upside down.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, change your world
upside
down.
That's the truth, buddy.
Yeah.
And that's why we're afraid to go to the next level.
Yeah.
I've been praying about this.
Bless him, Lord.
And you need to be praying about this. And I feel like, Brother Tom, that there's a battle. There's an inner battle.
Uh-huh.
With our own mind and our own heart before we get to that next level.
Right.
There's a mind. There's a battle there. And we got to fight that war within. Am I really going to push through? Give God my whole life? We know it's going to cost us. We ain't going to get to run and pit dilly dally and piddle paddle around and do what we want to do if we're really going to be used of God.
Amen.
Woo!
In God.
Oh,
in
God.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Exactly right.
I've heard too much. I've heard Claude Elies. He went up on Black Mountain and he come down. He's never the same man.
Yeah.
1,000 souls for the Lord. They said Claude Ely could just come in the building and there was a hush come across that crowd and everybody could feel the Spirit of God when he walked in the house.
Yeah.
Oh,
those old timers, they paid the price. They was at that next level.
Yeah.
Next level.
Right.
I come to tell you, we need to get to the next level.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Help us, Lord.
Those L.D. Moores and Ralph Foxes and Don Riches. I heard Don Rich talk about how he was a prosperous businessman and he knew that when he really followed the Lord like he should, it was going to cost him. He said he lived in the highest hill on Pismo Beach, California. I looked it up. Look on your map. Pismo Beach, California.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful place right there on that beautiful shore, California. He said he lived on a great big hill up there on a great big mansion. He said one of the biggest houses on the highest hill in Pismo Beach, California, overlooking the Pacific Ocean. Now, that sounds like a beautiful place to live. He said he had a thriving business. He'd go downtown if he wanted a Cadillac, buy him a Cadillac. He said, I had what I wanted. I was prosperous.
Whoa,
he said, but the Lord knocked on my heart one day and said, Don, you got to give this up and go preach for me.
Whoa,
how many can do that?
Whoa, come
Amen.
On now.
Woo. Couldn't do the next level. Have a yearning for God in your heart. Going to that next level is going to cost you something.
Yeah.
Amen, brother. Amen.
I'm preaching to us here tonight.
Yes.
Right.
Oh, it's going to cost you something.
Yes.
Whoa, woo.
Come on.
And I realize he's a Baptist preacher. I listened to old Jack Hiles. He was what you call an old-time fundamentalist. I mean, he preached. He's like Lester Roloff. He preached against everything. Well, I heard old Jack Hiles tell the same thing. He was a great preacher, had a big church, a prosperous church. He had won a lot of souls for the Lord. But he started getting invitations to preach across the country. And I don't know how a man does this, but the guy preached at his church every Sunday. And I think their midweek was Wednesday nights. And he preached across the country. I know of Mondays and Tuesdays. Thursdays and Fridays, he would catch a plane out of Chicago. He was in Hammond, Indiana, just south in Indiana, the southern part of Chicago, Illinois, up there. He had a big church, and he'd catch a plane on O'Hare Airport, and he'd fly the country, whoo, preaching the gospel every Monday and Tuesday somewhere. Come back home, take care of your church on Wednesday. Fly out Thursday morning, amen, for Thursday and Friday, preach somewhere else. He said he did that for years. Preach the gospel. He said it cost him. Oh, God. I'll never forget. Amen. Chuck, he talked to his son David. And his son David was 13 or 14 years old when Brother Jack Kyle said the Lord told him he needed to start doing this. And he said, I knew if I did it, my family life was over. He said, I knew if I did it. He said, I talked to my boy David. Said, David, I've got hundreds of invitations back there on my desk. People want me to come here. People want me to come here. And he said he knew David was a good Christian young man. And he said, David, this broke my heart. He said, David, if I go preach all these invitations and I fly out the first part of the week and I fly out the latter part of the week and I take care of all these invitations, he said, me and you probably throwed our last pole in the water. Amen. Me and you probably throwed our last catch and pitch together. What do you think I ought to do, David? His son. He said, Dad, I tell you what you ought to do. You ought to go preach the gospel. You ought to go preach the word. You ought to do what God called you today. And I know this is across the grain, but today we're too interested in what we want to do. Have you ever heard it said, it's my life to live. I'm going to do what I want. Oh, no. It's not your life. And if you ever get anything done for God, it's going to take a yearning.
My Lord.
Oh. Great man of yesteryear costing him something.
Yes.
I've come to tell you tonight it's going to cost you something if you're going to go to the next level.
Right. My Lord.
Oh, God. Woo.
Come on.
There is an abundance of such eager seekers. I'm afraid they're a minority today. Perhaps like Demas, the shimmering glare of the world system has dazzled their eyes. And they've left the Lord for this present day world.
Yeah.
Right.
Hallelujah. Perhaps it's because they haven't really known God as they should have. How is people so easily detoured on this walk of God because they're not really rooted and grounded like they should be to start with? Amen. And you see such a dilly-dally up and down. Amen. Fickle bunch of people that we're dealing with today. Have you ever seen such a church world as this?
Come on.
Why is people so unstable? Because they're really not rooted like they should be. Right. We ain't prayed through at home. We ain't read our Bibles at home. We ain't fasting. We're not seeking the Lord. And then, therefore we come to church, amen, with a bunch of weak, unstable Christians.
Amen. You're right, man.
Exactly right.
Come on, brother.
Exactly. We like to point the finger at the preacher. That old preacher, look at him. Amen. He ain't really, amen, doing what he should do. Look at the people. I can't go home with you and make you pray.
That's right.
Come on, right. Brother Jason. That's right. How many weeks, Brother Tommy? 4 or 6 weeks. I know. I begged you to pray at home.
Come on.
I begged you to gather together as a family and pray at the house.
Come on.
You won't bicker and fight around so much. I'll guarantee you that.
Amen.
Woo! And what comes to me up here, and I realize everybody's got different things they do in your home, but some of you instrument players, I tell you what, do us some good to come up here 5-10 minutes before church and gather up here and pray together.
Yeah.
And we won't bicker. Hey, man, we can get in rhythm and get in tune. And get together and have song service around here, can't we?
Oh.
And we get together and pray, amen. Oh, yeah, I know I'm telling you what's right. I know I'm telling you. You can't come to church with a puffed up heart, amen, with your agenda in mind if you really been praying. Woo. If you're really seeking the Lord like you ought to.
Praise God.
Oh, that's right, bro. Amen.
Woo.
Lord, help us.
Yes.
Help us. I'm going to say this and I'm going to move on. I ain't going to leave him here all night.
Jesus.
I'm going to say this and I'm going to move on here. But until you get some things crucified, they're going to keep on coming back. And they're going to haunt you until you get it out crucified.
God bless you, Lord.
You're right. Why did God tell Saul to kill the Amalekites? Because the Amalekites was a thorn in Israel's side. Every time they turned around, God told Saul, said, Saul, I want you to utterly destroy them, get rid of them, slay them, get them out of there, because until you do, they'll forever be a thorn in your side.
Amen, brother.
What Saul did, he got down there and he disobeyed the voice of God.
Yeah.
He took in the good cows, the good sheep, the good of the flocks.
Yeah.
Samuel came back into town and said, Saul, what's this? I hear the bleeding of the sheep. The bleeding of the sheep.
Yeah.
The wooing of the cow, bleeding, whatever, of the cow. He said, I hear those noises.
Yeah.
Did you do what God said do? Oh, yeah, I did it. He said, I did it. He said, well, if you did it, then I shouldn't be hearing what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
Because he didn't slay, he didn't do what God said. So there were still things, there were still noises. And you're going to hear the noises until you do what God said.
Amen.
You're going to keep hearing them noises until you do what God says to do.
Amen.
Finally, Samuel, the old prophet, the old man of God, had to go down there with his own sword. An old man, Saul should have did it. The man of God should have did it.
Yeah.
But Saul, the old washed out prophet, amen. Old man, great God, had to go down there and do what God said to him. And he took a sword, and the Bible said he utterly slew Agag, and he got rid of him, and he utterly slew the Amalekites. He did what God said to do. And until you slay it, until you get it out of there, it's going to keep on causing trouble in your spirit and in your family.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Lord.
Oh, God.
Yes, Lord.
Woo! Truly, that truly is all some people know about God. Just what they can get in a 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 minute prayer. What I'm preaching about tonight is more than that.
Oh, yes, sir.
Come on.
What I'm preaching about tonight is an utter yearning for God from the depths of your heart.
Amen.
Have you got that?
God.
Glory to God.
He's been reduced in their minds, amen, to a lot of people to just an ever-present help in a time of trouble. That's what we think of God nowadays. He's my help in time of trouble. He's way more than that.
Right.
He's way more than that.
Yes, he is.
How different it was for Daniel, who opened the windows and prayed 3 times a day to his God despite the threat of death for doing so. Daniel so yearned for God that not even the mouths of the hungry lions intimidated him. We need some Daniels today. I said, we need some Daniels today. Yeah. He would have sung it, I believe, with all of his heart. Amen. No matter what. Breathe on me. I believe he would have sung that song. Breathe on me, breath of God, that I may love what thou dost love. Hallelujah. Great God. Much of the message of this decade, of this time is God loves everybody and everybody loves God. Love, love, love.
Come on, bro.
I told you Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
2 or 3 churches in town. It's really sickening when I drive by that sign. And Bill, my helper, he's an utter sinner. This guy's wicked, really. I can't even tell you some things this fellow's been into. He's wicked. And it just makes me sick when I pass that sign up for Brother George. And they got a big banner out there with a big rainbow banner. And it says, love is love and blah, blah, blah. I don't know. I don't even care why. Well, but it just puts all that love, LGBTQ theology down your throat. That's what it's all about.
That's what it's about.
Church now. Church.
My Lord.
Love is love. I said, Bill, that makes me sick. He said, that is pretty bad. No matter wicked sinner.
Yeah.
He said, that is pretty bad.
Yeah.
I said,
right,
yeah. It sure is.
Yes, Lord.
It's pretty bad. Oh, God. Because this generation only preaches that he's a God of love, love, love. He's way more than that, church.
Yes.
He's way more than just a God of love, love, love. We've got a generation that we've raised and we've preached our 12 to 15 minute sermonettes.
Uh-huh.
Amen. Great God fell down there and told me one time, he said, you look like a long-winded preacher. I said, no, I preach about 30 minutes, 40 minutes. It'll be a long time for me. He said, that's a long time.
Yes, it be.
That's what he told me. I said, what do you mean that's a long time? I can't tell you. I'm not here church bashing, but there's a big church in town. It's where he went. I said, how long's your preacher? I thought 30 minutes was quick preaching. Amen.
Yeah.
I said, how long's your preacher preaching?
He said, 15 minutes is a long time. We're in and out. Yeah, they're out, all right.
Woo! Nowadays they advertise 1 hour services. That's the new lingo. That's the new thing. Come on in. We're in and out an hour.
Dear Lord, dear Lord.
Our sermonettes have produced Christianettes.
Yeah.
Man, you're right.
Come on, Brother Jason.
Oh, God. What happened to the old timers that got in the house of God and they yearned until God moved?
Right.
Yeah. Did you know? I didn't know half of this stuff.
until I read, and I need to read more of it. I still didn't read them whole books. Sister Bart gave me several books, Lester Summerall. She gave me some books on Azusa Street. I read part of them. I haven't read them all. I need to read them all. Amen. But anyway, Brother Earl, over there in England, when the Great Welsh Revival broke out, We say a great revival. We think it was a 6-week meeting, 8-week meeting. Mm-hmm. Amen. Several week meeting. It lasted for months.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I'm talking months.
Yeah.
Church every night.
Every night.
Every night for months. And you know what happened? Thousands, hundreds of thousands. So we've got saved. That's where I told you before. So many people got saved, Brother Chris, them coal miners. And they used to breed them ponies, real small ponies, and they pull them coal wagons out of the mountains over there. M.O. wicked men, the customers swore to beat them ponies to pull that coal out. They got saved and they quit cussing, and the ponies didn't know how to work because they operated by cuss words. They said that over 100,000 people got saved over there in that great Welsh greater area over there because revival broke out. They was revival for months and months and months at a time. Amen.
Come on.
Even years. The great Azusa Street revival really was a revival that lasted approximately 5 years.
Yes,
5 years. You know how long we have revival nowadays? Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and it would do real good to get folks to come to the few nights.
Yeah.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. That's true, brother.
Woo! Our old church in Sister Carla had revival five. They scheduled them starting off 2 weeks.
Yeah.
That's a starting place.
Oh, yeah.
Starting off 2 weeks.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
Let's get started with 2 weeks and see what happens.
Yeah.
Praise be to God.
That's what I'm yearning for, Brother Tom. That's what I'd love to have.
Yeah, sir. Come on.
A yearning for God. Soul saving, God stirring, move of God. Yeah, that'll shake this whole city. That'll shake this whole state. But it starts right there in the pew.
Right.
It starts right here with our hearts as a body of believers, as a unified group of people.
Amen.
It starts right here in our hearts. It's got to start with me, amen.
Oh,
5 years, that great Azusa Street revival. Amen. Oh, it was just an old barn style, Sister Donnie, amen, to start off with. They started there in that old building that back years ago, as early part of 1900s, they still had horse and buggies.
Yep.
And it was actually a place where people was driving through there. Amen. They would put their horses up for the night. And when they had church, they had to go in there and shovel and clean all that mess out.
Yeah.
And they started. And nowadays, we got the prettiest old buildings you ever seen. We got padded seats. We got air conditioners. We got PA. We got it all.
That's right.
Yeah.
Besides what they had.
That's right.
Oh, Lord. Right.
Yeah.
It's true.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, true. God. I got a lot more here, but I really about done.
Touch him along.
I got a yearning in my heart for this church.
Oh,
I got a yearning in my heart.
Come on, buddy. Come on. Yes,
for a move of God. Is there anybody in this house got a yearning?
Yes.
Come on. Come on.
Yes.
Is there anybody in this house really want to give up? What's holding us back to go further?
Yes.
And I'm not even talking all together. Sin, if it's sin, you better give it up. But sometimes,
sure.
Amen. Yeah, and it's a whole other sermon in itself, but there's weights that'll hold you back to get you from God. He said, lay aside every weight and sin.
That's right.
Sin, you better kick it out the door. You can't go to heaven with sin. There's a lot of weights that's holding you back. You need to get rid of the weight.
Yeah.
Right.
Woo!
That's it off.
Good.
Come on.
Great God.
Glory to God.
Love, love, love. How much do you really know about God? How much? I'm asking you a question, a personal question. I want you to answer to your own self and your own heart tonight. How much do you really know about God?
It's true.
Yes, Lord.
If you was to write it down, would yours be a little pamphlet? A couple little leaflet pamphlet? Or would you have to have a whole volume to tell about all God that you know of?
Wow,
how much do you know about? How much do you know God?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Oh, God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Lord, how much do we really know about God?
Hallelujah.
How much do we really know the concept of God? Shallow concepts equal shallow experiences. That's what a shallow concept is. Many people today know more about I can't even remember them soap operas. General Days of Our Lives, General Hospital. They know more about all their characters than they do the Word of God.
That's the truth, buddy. That's fact.
Right.
We know all the names of the people on the teams.
Uh huh.
We don't know the 12 disciples.
No.
Nope.
And we want to know why we're having a lack
of revival.
That's right.
Because we're having a lack of yearning for God.
God help us.
My Lord.
History records the fact that the greatest periods of revival were lengthy. Oh, yeah. They were very lengthy. They had church, years, months at a time. They would come to church and there was no set time. We're in on time and out at nine.
Yeah.
I understand. You know, I'm not sitting here saying you got to have church 4 hours. So you can stand back and say, boy, I had church 4 hours. You can have church for 4 hours if it's dead in the hammer. You ain't did nothing.
That's right.
You can have church for an hour. And if the Lord's there, God, or you've been so, I mean, I understand you can't go around saying, put the time on it, amen. But, oh, God, get us back to the place where it means more to us having church
sure.
God than it does anything else.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, I'll preach it to us here tonight.
Yes.
Glory to God. David knew God. He was known as a man after God's own heart, not because he was such a great warrior, not because he was such a great monarch. Amen. It was because he sought God. Yes, just like he said, as the heart panteth after water, but David sought after God.
Yes, he did.
He wanted God more than anything else. I got to move real quick. Let me give you this. David knew God was omniscient. What does that mean? That God knows everything.
Yep.
Hallelujah. God knows everything there is. God knows all things, whether they be actual or merely possible, whether they be past, present, future, and he knows them perfectly. And from all eternity, he knows things immediately. He knows things simultaneously. He knows things exhaustively. And he knows things truly. Hallelujah. My friend, the reality of that statement, great God will stop you right in your tracks. God knows everything.
Yes.
God's never surprised. He's never amazed. And he never wonders about anything. Have you ever sat around just wondering about something? God don't have to wonder. He knows. Hallelujah. David knew that somehow. David knew that about God. He got a hold of that precious insight and hung his dear life on it. David knew that not even a thought that, amen, to come across his mind was hidden from God, because he cried out, oh Lord, thou hast known me. Amen. David said, God, you know my uprisings and my downsettings.
Right.
God, you know everything there is to know about me.
Yeah.
And he knew, David knew that his sin was not hid from God.
Right.
Oh God, you know it all.
You know it all, Father.
Amen. God knows it, don't he?
Yes, Lord.
He knows every single facet of your life. Are you aware of that?
He knows.
Are you aware of that?
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
If you're a sinner, God knows every detail of those midnight hours.
Come on.
If you're a saint, God knows what you do in the dark.
He knows.
I've used it several times. You've heard it. Brother Rick Simpson, friend of mine, wonderful preacher. Brother Rick Simpson said when he was pastoring over in Hazard. He's down in Georgia now. But when he was pastoring over in Hazard, Kentucky, Brother L.D. Moore was preaching revival for him, the great prophet L.D. Moore.
Yeah.
He said, Brother L.D. was preaching. They was down with church. They was going down to Dairy Queen to get a bite to eat after church. And Brother Rick, this is back when he was way bigger than he is now. I don't know who does it, but he carried around Reese cups with him. Amen. And he had a big pack of Reese cups, and he got out of church, and man, he shoveled two or three of them Reese cups down, and he had a big handful of Reese cup papers in his hand, and he wrote his window down, and he getting ready to throw them out the window like he always does. And he said, I can't throw them papers out the window. L.D. Moore's behind me. And he said, the Spirit of God spoke to him and said, what about me? I'm always there.
Always there.
I'm always there. Rick said, I can't throw them papers out. L.D.'s back there. L.D.'s going to see me throw these Reese cup papers out the window. Hallelujah. God sees it.
That's right.
When L.D. ain't there, God sees it.
God sees it.
Hallelujah. Hey, man, he's omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's all-knowing. He knows everything. He's everywhere. Yes, right there. Where you are this very moment, you say, I'm at a place in my life that I've never been. I'm at a place in my life. David said, I read in my text, if I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning, dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me up. Amen. Hey, I come to tell you, I don't care where you go. God knows where you are.
Amen.
Yes. God knows.
Thank you, Lord God.
I'm going to close with a very, very deep statement.
Thank you, Father.
Bless him, Lord.
I'm going to close with a statement that every one of us need to get a hold of. You can have, this is very deep, but this is very, very elementary all at the same time. You can have as much God as you want.
That's right.
That's right, bro.
Thank you, Lord.
You know, you can go down to the gas station, you can have as much gas as, well, really, as you got the money. If you got $100 in your pocket, and you go by there and only buy $5 worth of gas and run out a few miles down the road, it's your fault.
That's right.
Because you had enough money to get the gas.
Yeah.
I worked one summer with my uncle, my dad's brother, Ivan. He put on a bunch of roofs. They had a storm up there and tore a bunch of shingles off. Man, he put shingles on all summer long. And he liked to work mid death. I was just about 14, 15 years old. And Brother George, I never seen a guy do such a thing. Every day we'd stop and get $5 worth of gas.
Yeah.
And he had an old Ford pickup truck. And if you know anything about a Ford, $5 don't get you far.
Oh my.
Every day, I would put $5 in there, and we'd drive home. He didn't live too far from that job he's done, and go back to that job and work. And every evening, we'd start and get $5. I can't even remember what it was. I asked him one day. I said, I want you to get a little more. Amen. I want you to get a little more than $5.
Get more.
Woo!
Lord.
Hey, I come to ask you tonight, get a little more than $5 worth.
Amen.
All get right. A little more. I know I'm wearing down. I'm done.
All right.
Great God, I should have been done a long time ago. I'm really trying to ruffle myself. I'm really trying to dig around the roots. I'm really trying to dig up the fallow ground out here now. How much do you want? You can have as much as you want. Amen. How much do you really want? Stand with me in this house. How much of God do you really want? Do you want more than $5 worth? Do you want more than just a shallow, amen, shovel full?
Yes, Lord.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Yeah.
Thank you. Really, what it boils down to, it's a matter of our priorities. We got to get our priorities right.
Yes, sir.
Our willingness to direct our heart and our mind on the things of God. Did you hear that? It's our willingness to get our priorities straight.
Come on.
Get our hearts and our minds directed towards the things of God.
Amen.
Oh. Yes, Jesus.
You'll not have much of God until you do that right there. Do you hear me? You don't have much of God until you get your hearts and your minds directed towards God and get your priorities straight.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Lord help us.
Glory be to God.
I want to have more of Him, don't you, church?
Amen.
I said I want to have more of God here tonight.
Right.
Lord help us in this house. I want to have more of God.
Holy
because the Holy Ghost is here in this house.
Father,
amen. Won't you bow your heads? I don't know if to do this, but I felt the Lord in a strong manner here tonight. Lord, I pray, God, will you help this church to go deeper? God, will you help this church to really go deeper in our walk with you? Lord, we can't dilly-dally around the edge and think we're going to have a lasting move of God. We've got to really dig down here, Lord, get on the rock. God, we got to really change our hearts and our minds and our priorities to get things focused. Amen. Get our minds upon you, Lord. Wake up in the morning with you on our mind. Go to bed at night with you on our mind. Come to the house of God with you on our mind. That's where I got to be, Lord. That's where I got to get to. For you're the all that matters to me. You're the only thing, God, that matters to me. You're the only thing that matters to me. All right. You'll be the first one tonight. Really take this serious. I mean this. I'm not trying to drum up some charismatic thing. That's not, but who's really serious? Sister Carl already said it, sis.
Yes.
Amen. She already said it. So she can be the first one in these altars. She said, I want to be used of God. I want more of God in my heart. Who'll be second? Who'll be second tonight?
Hey.
Lord, I really want more of you.
Hey.
I want to get a right priority. I want to get my heart. Hey, amen. I want to get my mind focused in the right direction. I want to get things straight now. I've been in a rut. I can't get nowhere in a rut. What is a rut? You're just spinning your wheels, but you're staying in the same old place. Great God, come out of the rut tonight. Come out of that rut tonight. Give yourself wholly unto the Lord. Give yourself 100% to God tonight. Oh, God.
I believe the Lord put that on his heart because this song has been on my heart all day. The only way we're going to get the power of the Spirit is to yearn, hunger, and thirst.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Time waiting.